What you talking about?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk About It on Jamestown 107.1 FM. We're also streamed online at newsdakota.com. Today, joining us for our monthly chat, our monthly health chat, we have Dr. Tommy Erickson with the Sanford Health Clinic in Jamestown. And Dr. Erickson, welcome to our show.
Always glad to be here, Warren.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time and, of course, the educational things you bring with you and the chance for us to learn something new each month. And this month, we wanted to talk about cervical cancer. But first, maybe for those who are unaware, and it's a common term, but what is the cervix? And I know this is mostly focused on women's health, which has kind of been in the focus as of late.
Yeah, I find with lots of my patients that people know the term, but don't really know what it means. The cervix is the neck or the opening of the uterus. So it is the entry point into or the exit point out of the uterus.
Obviously, when it comes to cervical cancer, I know that's been in the public eye. We're coming off of October, where it was Cervical and Breast Health Awareness Month. And we want to talk today about screenings and how do we know we need to get screened? When do we know it's time to start being screened for that?
Sure. Well, the most basic way to know if you should be screened for cervical cancer is knowing whether or not you have a cervix. So anyone who has a cervix should be screened at some point in their life. Right now, the guidelines are age-based. So typically, we'd recommend that women start being screened for cervical cancer at age 21 and that continue until at least age 65, and then in some circumstances, possibly beyond 65. So the only major exception would be women who don't have a cervix, as long as they have had their uterus removed for a non-cancer reason. There's still maybe some times where you should continue to be screened either for HPV or for cellular changes even after your cervix is gone, depending on those circumstances.
So a question today too would be, when it comes to screenings, how do you screen? And I'm sure as technology has progressed, it's become less invasive, because I know it's definitely come a long way, both with that and breast cancer screenings as well.
Well, it's a very straightforward test, fortunately. The exact test that's done for screening depends on your age. So younger women age 21 to 30 currently are recommended to undergo a pap smear. So the classic, what we all think of as cervical cancer screening, where we're looking at cells from the cervix to know whether or not there's any changes that could be precancerous or cancerous. That does require a pelvic examination in order to do that test correctly. After age 30, current guidelines from the USPSTF and from the American Cancer Society, which are also endorsed by the American College of OBGYN, recommend that you either undergo a pap smear every 3 years, that you have an HPV test every 5 years, or that you have a co-test, meaning a pap smear and an HPV test every 5 years, provided that the results are normal. Screenings might be more often than that if there is a positive HPV or if you have cell changes.
Obviously, there's a lot of dates in there, a lot of times, but that's why we're talking about this today. Dr. Tommy Erickson, again, with Sanford Health, joining us on Let's Talk About It. We're discussing cervical cancer and cervical screenings. I think you kind of touched on this a little bit, Dr. Erickson. Who's typically those that are conducting these screenings?
Sure. So it can be your primary care physician, nurse practitioner, or physician assistant. These are screenings that are often provided by obstetrician gynecologists as well, or any other physician who provides primary care screenings to their patients. Okay. So typically, I tell patients to talk with their physician about this, because there are the base guidelines, but there may be circumstances under which a different approach is needed, especially if there have been prior abnormal tests, or if there has been a hysterectomy, et cetera.
Sure.
There may be times where the guidelines don't apply, or where they may be more specific than what we just talked about.
Okay. Well, and we know cervical health is extremely important. And the screenings are not only for the health of an individual, but preventative as well. And we talk about cervical cancer. That's a question that some may have today, is can that be prevented? And with screenings, is that possible too?
Yes. So cervical cancer screening is one of the miracles of modern medicine. I would say one of the top two or three. because we can very effectively find changes with the cervix before cervical cancer is present, meaning that we can change or affect that before cancer even occurs. Before regular cervical cancer screening, roughly 50,000 women a year would die of cervical cancer in the United States, and currently it's under 5,000. And what I ask people to remember is when this test was invented in the 30s, there were far fewer people living in the US than there are now. Now, beyond appropriate cervical cancer screenings, either through a pap smear or an HPV test with your primary healthcare provider, there is the human papillomavirus vaccine that has been shown to be extremely effective at preventing HPV-related cancers, of which the overwhelming majority of cervical cancers are. So it is a vaccine that, in fact, prevents cancer. So I always recommend that patients consider that. It's typically given to teenagers or young adults, but it is currently approved for use in people up to the age of 45. Otherwise, because HPV is a sexually transmitted infection, practicing safe sex practices can lower your risk of contracting HPV in the first place.
I always feel like, Dr. Erickson, we always get like just a crude sort of overview of what we talk about. So there may be some more questions that have come up that we haven't covered today, but where would you send somebody to go? Obviously, we say a primary healthcare provider, but if anybody has questions, where would you send?
Yeah, I think the best place to start is speaking to your primary physician, nurse practitioner, or physician assistant, but obstetrician gynecologists are excellent resources for cervical cancer screening as well. There are excellent resources online, like the Mayo Clinic or the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, that have great information on who should be screened, when to be screened, where you can contact physicians for those screenings.
Okay, very good. Again, our monthly health chat on cervical cancer with Dr. Tommy Erickson. And Dr. Erickson, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Warren. I always appreciate it.